Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Poor man, rich man, thief, doctor, lawyer, merchant, chief. Actually, it was Indian chief back in the day, but it got redacted somewhere along there. We don't want to offend the Indians by calling them Indians. But the song, for the most part, it's just a dumb little song. You can use it while counting cherry pits or petals on a flower. And the one you end on is the one that you'll end up as, either rich or poor or a criminal or a standout or maybe even an outsider. What are you going to be when you grow up? It's still pretty much a great question. I mean, people ask me that every once in a while. And I know I'm far from a child anymore, but I'm also far from done growing up. I'm still working on growing up. I'm still working. Some people might say I'm still working on my maturity just a bit. My wife and I have come a long way, or maybe she's come a long way in raising me. But we've come a long way, right? We've taken on serious responsibilities. We've moved a number of times. We've reared children, taken on debt, made hard decisions, made wrong decisions, weathered markets and viruses and driving permits. Actually, Stephanie did most of the driving permits and she still has PTSD. Other than a little of that, how are you doing? How are you doing in your growing up? In your maturity into the man or the woman of God that God called you to be. I'm not talking about just vocation. A lot of times when you talk about growing up, that's what people think. What are you going to do for money? Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my commands, you shall be my treasured possession. I love that treasured possession. In Hebrew, it's pronounced segula. Doesn't that sound like treasured possession? Sounds like love song right there. Segula. My precious one, my darling, my beloved. You are a kingdom, a holy kingdom, a nation of priests, says God. You are precious as saints, as Peter puts it. He tells us to put away all malice and deceit, put away all hypocrisy and envy and slander. He says, like newborn babes who long for pure spiritual milk that you may grow up. In fact, that's the title of the sermon today, Grow Up. Grow up into salvation. This 1 Peter chapter 2 reading is an old alternative reading that I chose, and it dovetails really well with the Exodus lesson today. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, so you might proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What are you going to be when you grow up? I'm not saying what are you going to do, because everybody's doing something. I know professions are important, but they come and go. Nowadays, you can almost be retired from a profession longer than you actually did the profession, which is kind of cool. What are we going to be outside of that? This is the question that God himself answers for us on Mount Sinai. It's precisely the same question that St. Peter answers for us as he writes his letter to the saints in Rome. And it's a sermon that you've heard 100 times. You've probably heard it 1,000 times over all of your lifetime. Be holy. Be holy as the Lord your God is holy. And before you balk, it is exactly what God would have of you. And yes, I agree, it is wildly unreasonable. You are not going to be as holy as God is. You are never even going to come close. And this makes a shamble out of all of our prides. Because only God makes holiness possible. You can only be holy because God has infused you with his holiness, which he will do later. And with humanity, it is not possible. because holiness is indeed godliness. But being holy is what growing up is in the fullest sense of the means. No matter how old we are, no matter how much we've achieved, how much more we want to achieve, how much more is on our list that we're looking forward to working on, we're not truly grown up until we understand, and this extraordinary thing happens unto us. When holiness happens unto us. When we've been called out of darkness into his marvelous and glorious light. Out of darkness and into light. Out of ignorance and into knowledge. Out of death and into life. Growing up to be God's segula, his beloved. Israel was called to be holy. In the end, she didn't want it. Israel wanted to be like all the other nations. Israel wanted to be like everybody else. She didn't want to stand out. She didn't want to be odd. She didn't want to be different. She didn't want to be interesting. She wanted to be more like Egypt. Or Syria, or Babylon, one of those stalwart, you know, like regular old nations. She wanted clout, she wanted security, she wanted wealth, she wanted ease. Eventually, what she wanted wasn't God's own way at all. And God sent prophet after prophet. When they got tired of listening to the prophets, they did away with the prophets. And when God's demands seemed too exorbitant, she took up with other gods. And like last week's sermon, it's super easy to separate ourselves from Israel's sin and go, well, I'm not an Old Testament Israelite. That doesn't have anything to do with me. But it does. Because you too are God's beloved. He has called you his treasured possession. My precious one, my darling. And the sad thing is that you don't have to be. We live in a nation where people are walking away from God at record numbers. They're just packing their bags and going, you know what? Sounds more fun if I can just do it myself. Off they go. You can disobey his voice. You can forgo his covenants. I mean, who wants to be holy anyway, right? I mean, the word itself has almost fallen out of usage. The only time I ever hear the word holy anymore, I'm either reading something biblically based, or we're talking about the holy city, right? Charleston, which is where we're from, if you're from the internet. Charleston's the holy city, but nobody believes it. It's just a nickname, because we got a lot of spires out there somewhere. I mean, who wants to be holy? Holy is a word that's fallen into disrepute. Holier than thou, right? The biggest of cut downs. It is the grandest of slurs that man can come up with. And yet, we have our moments, don't we? We have our moments. When we are what we have been called to be, and we hunger for holiness and thirst for righteousness. I mean, all humanity does at certain points, at some level. I mean, that's all that what the social justice means are all about. The social justice, to a certain extent, I think that's what Pride Month is all about. It's people setting in darkness, casting about for light. Casting about for that inborn desire for righteousness and holiness and a yearning for God. The only problem is they look for God in all of the wrong places. Social justice seeks holiness and the approval of men. And Pride Month seeks the approval within the internet and the sphere. But you who have been called by God, who have been born of water and the Word, there comes these actual moments of holiness that even in the midst of all of our cynicism and all of our worldliness, when saintliness just sort of bowls us over. Men and women who are not made out of plaster and platitudes, men and women who have had their rough places smoothed off by the Holy Spirit of God, whose transparent love and extraordinary kindness just sort of knocks us back a little. And we take pause to give thanks unto God for light bearers, for light bringers. We who have tasted the goodness and the kindness of the Lord, writes Peter. We've tasted it, we've seen it, we've felt it. We know that it actually exists, and we know where it can be found. Come. Come, implores the Lord. Be invited unto His table. Be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. I'm not talking about like an actual nation. I'm not even sure if a nation can actually be holy, not entirely. A nation's made up of people. It's hard to imagine. I mean, maybe some element of a nation may be holy or righteous or just or perfect, some remnant or some root, a shoot coming forth out of the stump of Jesse, as Isaiah puts it. A whole nation, I tend to be skeptical. Maybe it's just that those days have passed. But beloved of the Lord, you and I are the eyes and ears of the Lord God Almighty. You and I are the hearts and the hands and the guts, the segula, the beloved. As Peter addresses us, so put away malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. Put it away. Just put it away. Put it on a shelf someplace. My house sometimes can get messy, and I like to put things away. I go in these tirades where I spend lots of time putting things away, and no one can find anything because it's been put away. And they go, "Where was that?" And I go, "I don't remember. Look in a shelf someplace, way deep in the back. Just shove that all the way in the back corner. You don't need it. I know you don't need it. Just put it away. Get thee behind me. Grow up into salvation. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord, for the benefit of our neighbors and our friends and our children and our grandchildren, people that live across the street and those that we see in the coffee shop, grow up. It's never too late. It's never too early to be holy. We've tasted it. Tasted the kindness of the Lord, says Peter. A kindness, a holiness, a saintliness, a sanity, so that by God's grace we may grow up to salvation at last. To grow up. The way light falls through a window. A kind of moment, a door of holiness opens and we enter through. May we enter through. May you enter through. May I enter through. In God's name, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.